Hey y'all, it's your girl Flo. Welcome to the Flo Experience and happy Mother's Day to all of you beautiful queens that have given to this earth what the earth has provided to us, and that is life. God bless y'all. I wanted to start off with a poem that my husband wrote. I thought it was pretty cute. So just to kind of lighten it up a little bit before we get started, this segment is undoubtedly called Mothers. This one basically just says his poem, that is. There was once this girl named Flo. She was the secretary for a record label in Indy. That girl was so fly. She has style of her own. I wonder if she eats. She drives a sports coupe. Her favorite pastime is shopping. She has a niece she loves very much. I could see myself with this girl, if she'll have me. She doesn't notice me. I wonder if I'm even her type. Double says she got a man. I want to go up to her and say hello. Will she get the vibe I'm interested? Maybe I'll take her lunch. Will she take my kindness for granted? I'm going to confide in my buddy and let him know I dig Flo. Ain't that dope, y'all? But that's a true story. That's how we met. We met through our homeboy, Double. May he rest in peace. And that's how this union came about. But today, I'm just going to reflect and speak on why I'm grateful for this day and every day. As you well know, mothers across the world, you know, we hold it down. I just looked at an Instagram post from J Electronica, I'm sorry, and that's Erica Badu's daughter's father, and he shouted her out, you know, just to let her know how dope she is, which, you know, remains unsaid because she is. But, you know, those are flowers, and I mentioned that in one of my other podcasts. You know, every morning when my children get up, the first thing they do is they come in my room and they look for my eyes. They want eye contact. They look to provide me with love and a hug and to say good morning. You know, I am grateful for that. Those are my flowers every single day. So for those small things, they give me gratification. They give me validation. I'm grateful for the fact that my husband appreciates me. He always has, regardless of his situation now. He has always lifted me up and encouraged me, not only as a woman, but as a mother. He saw the efforts that I was putting in to be the mom that I wanted to be to my children, and he supported that. And I think that's very important also. A friend of mine a long time ago told me, Flo, don't let nobody tell you how to raise your kids. And I took that to mean, you know, you are already okay. You are already who you are supposed to be because God chose you to be their mom. And don't let nobody else, you know, turn you away from that or discourage you from that. So for that, I am grateful. And today, as I listen, I haven't looked out the window, but I can hear, you know, the earth is replenishing all the nourishment in love with rain today. And at first I thought, oh man, it's going to be all wet and crazy. But then I took a step back and I realized that's what mothers do. We provide. We provide all that our children need in a way that sometimes isn't conventional or convenient to anyone else. But, you know, convenience isn't our purpose. Our purpose is to make certain that any and everything that we approach, any and everything that we love and appreciate, and that we are blessed with, that we give our all to. That's just in our nature. You know, women, since the beginning of time, have been stretching over the threshold, reaching back for a loved one, or pushing the boundary, or extending ourselves just a little bit further when no one else would. And I think we get lost in that struggle by not seeing the blessings that are coming out of that. You know, we see what all is wrong sometimes, more so than we see what all is right. And so I think today is a day of reflection. I believe the universe has blessed us physically, mentally, spiritually, and provided for us all that we need to be the spiritual beings that we are called to be. We already have it. It's like Glinda the Good Witch always says, and I think Oprah uses this term, this statement all the time, but it's true. Glinda the Good Witch always said, you've always had what you need. You've always had it. And for that, I am thankful. You know, I question my capabilities as a mother because a lot of y'all may not know, but motherhood did not come easy for me. My first child was named Jalen Michael Davis, and he was born April 7th, 1999, with a previous boyfriend that I was with for about 7 years. I think I was with John for 7 years. But we had a child. That was my first baby, right? And he died. He was born too early. He did live for about 30 minutes, and he died. So may my son rest in peace. And we had to have a whole funeral. We had to have a burial. He's in what they call Babyland in Crown Hill back home in Nap. And, you know, from time to time before I moved here, I mean, I literally would drive by his spot every single day. Because if you know the city, Michigan Road runs right down the side of, until you get to, well, even past 38th Street. Michigan Road onto Northwestern, which is actually Martin Luther King. It runs right alongside of Crown Hill. And so every day, right before I get to that light at Michigan Road and 38th Street, I would look over and see my son's area where he's buried. So it was a constant reminder for years, you know, that I had that experience. Fast forward, my husband and I got pregnant when I don't even think we were married yet. And it was a baby that I had in my tubes. So that baby obviously didn't survive. And then I had to have some crazy surgery. Like one of my tubes was burned in half, so I only have a half on the left side, and everything else is still operating the way that it should be on the right. So I have one and a half tubes, and then fast forward beyond that, we got pregnant again, and this time this baby, just like Jalen, was born prematurely. His name is Juan Kirk Jr. Or no, I'm sorry, Juan Kirk Sperling III, and we nicknamed him Trey. And he also did not survive. So I've had those three experiences before having a successful pregnancy, which was my son, who, by the way, was also born prematurely. But he was born a lot further along than my other two boys. So he's definitely special to me. And he struggled, you know, from the day that he entered this world. I literally, in my hearts of hearts, prepared for him to die because I had gotten accustomed to not surviving, or my children not surviving a birth. And I know that seems horrible. I know that sounds terrible, but that's the truth. You know, I did not prepare for him to survive at all. So when my friends thought to give me a baby shower, I agreed, you know, just to, I don't know, try to stay positive, but I did not really take it seriously. But my son, he fought the good fight. He stayed in that hospital for 2.5 months before he was able to come home. His brain had hemorrhaged. He had jaundice. He, you know, had to eat through a feeding tube for probably the first 4 or 5 months of his life. Probably even further than that. I would say we didn't remove the tube away from him until he was probably almost 6 months. Because he hadn't developed the capability to swallow. So we kind of had to feed him in a way to make certain that he would get the food in his stomach. So it was a lot. And speaking of double, you know, the year my son was born was 2007, November 30th. And Double went to the hospital. He greeted my son. You know, he congratulated us as parents. And he ultimately looked at my baby and was like, man, I'm going to call him 7. Because that's my luck. That was his lucky number. So he said, I'm going to call him 7. You know, and moving forward toward the beginning of the next year, which is January 2008, is when Double was murdered. So it was ironic that he gave him that nickname, considering the fact that, you know, my son is in here fighting for his life, and he is considered to be lucky compared to my past history with pregnancies. So then my daughter, when I had her, when I got pregnant with her, she went the whole ride. It was no complications, no problems, but I still had, with every birth, every pregnancy that I had after my first one, I still had to have my cervix stitched up, which they call a cerclage, so that I would not go into early term labor. That worked. That only was successful with my son. Trey, it wasn't successful with him. But it's just one of those things where, you know, we have those struggles. We have that pain. You know, women are very resilient. Mothers are, since the beginning of time, warriors. You know, just this past week, we were on the Beltline. And I rented myself and my kids those little scooters that you can get. I think Lyft has one, Uber has one, and there's another one called, I forget the other one. But anyway, we all rented scooters, and this was our first time on the scooters. Well, you know, we're all kind of nervous, but we're all enjoying ourselves and having a good time. So after we circled back to go back to where we started, we get to a crossroad where we have to cross the street. So my daughter stopped, then I stopped, and then my son stopped. And there's people coming across the traffic to the side of the street where we were standing to wait to cross on scooters as well. And they kind of had to wiggle into between the two barriers on the outside of where we were standing, but they had to get past some pedestrians as well. So they kind of struggled a little bit, and they laughed about it and went on. But then this motorcycle or bicyclist behind us came up behind us screaming, "You're in the way, you're in the way," or whatever he said. And then as I turned to see what was going on, he looked me so cold in my face and so, you know, like he was like, I'm pitiful, you know. Not to mention he was an old white guy, so that didn't help his case at all. But I ignored him and I kept going. So we get on down the road or whatever, and my daughter is in front of me, and just in out of nowhere, she just stopped, and I couldn't stop fast enough to keep from running into her. So I end up falling, and I didn't knock her down, but the handlebar of my scooter rammed her in the back a little bit. And it was just a big old catastrophe. You know, we out here trying to figure this out, right? And it was weird, but regardless. So I get up and I'm hurt, but she's crying. So I'm consoling her. And I look up and here come this same man again on his bicycle. And he rolls up close enough just to whisper in my face, "Well, if she didn't know what she was doing, she shouldn't have been on there." And let me tell you, I went off on that man so bad. And I let him know that if you don't keep it moving and stay out of my face, that was the second time you said something to me, and that's going to be the last time you say something to me. And I did not care who heard me, who saw me, or none of that. See, it was different when you looked me in my face to tell me something. But now you're referencing my child. Now I'm ready to body you, like for real. I was not playing with him, and I let him know that you better go somewhere and get on out of here before you get hurt. And I meant that. You know, and it made me angry because here we are just trying to enjoy ourselves. Yeah, we've never done this before, but how else would we know if we hadn't tried it? And who are you to step in my space? I'm out here with my kids. If you don't agree with me being here, then maybe you should go somewhere else. That's how it made me feel. I mean, it pissed me off. Like I can envision myself like really doing some crazy crap when it comes to my kids. Like, just don't step to me about them. But, you know, that's that's being a mother. You know, I don't know a mother that don't fight for her children. And it is a natural instinct. You hear about people saying, oh, when you become a mother, everything comes natural. There's an instinct. And that instinct is so real. It is so grounded. And it's unavoidable. You're going to know your children better than anybody. Even when other people looking in decide that, you know, they would have done it a certain way. Or they would have said this. Or they would have handled it this way. Or they don't understand your methods or whatever. But you have to be firm in your position that God has provided to you. You have to be firm as to who you are and be okay with being the mom that you are, because you're not going to be like anyone else. And I had to accept that, you know, I literally had to have like arguments with people, you know, I don't care what you did or what your mom did. That has nothing to do with me per se. You know, I do appreciate lessons and watching other people do certain things that I know that I could probably try to do, especially if I have questions. I'm not denying that, you know, but I don't evade other people's space when it comes to them, nurturing their children. Because as long as the end result is love, care, you know, productive, solidarity, you know, everything that's powerful that a mother can provide, then that's all that matters. So I appreciate all moms, no matter who you are, because it takes a lot out of us individually just to make sure that we are being the best that we can be. And I know for some people, that's a struggle. You know, you got single moms out here. Now, for all intents and purposes, I'm a single mom. But you got single moms out here that really, you know, juggle everything on their own. They have no help. So you got to respect how they operate. If you're not willing to get in there and truly help, tangibly help, not with your mouth, because sometimes that's just criticism. And it's your ego getting in the way of, you know, you thinking that you would have done it better or you would have done this way. You know, that doesn't, let me tell y'all right now with all you advisors, that shit don't help. I'm going to tell you what helps. If you truly feel like you want to help and you see that I may have an issue or whatever, first of all, give me the opportunity to ask for it. If I don't ask for it and I make it through the situation, then, you know, that was my journey. Let me have that. However, if you feel like you want to jump in and tangibly help, then do that. You know, I don't mind you letting me know, hey, I noticed that, you know, Lil Juan, you know, wears the same size shirts as my kid, and I got these shirts over here for you. You know, that's cool. You know, but I take pride in being their mom. Okay? And so that part of me is sacred. And I respect other mothers as well as for who they are and how they chose to love their children. I don't always have to agree, you know, but I respect you and I love you. So I think we need to all give each other a break. I really do. And show each other some love and encourage each other. You know, on this day in particular, let another mom know that you see her. And let her know, hey, you know, you're doing a damn thing. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I think we should make that a normal practice, especially as women, just to uplift each other regardless, you know, as mothers for sure, but regardless. Also, I want to go ahead and shout out the mothers that have been in my life. First of all, my mother, Helen Bennett. You know, she gave me all that she felt like she could provide. She did the best she could with what she had. And she's always supported me. Now, you know, I may not have everything that she would have wanted me to have in this life. But she damn sure supported whatever it was I wanted to do. Especially once I let her know that, you know, I just need you to support this, whatever it is. So I appreciate you and I love you and I thank you. My grandmother, who has passed on, who we miss and love every single day, Miss Catherine Chenault, who's beautiful. She was strong. She was, you know, charismatic, very, very, very intelligent, very smart, very wise. Her struggle as a mom began at the tender age of 15 years old, you know, and it's funny how our experiences into motherhood parallel each other. My grandmother's first child was a boy who was born but didn't survive the birth. And then she went on to have other children. My mother's first child before me was born and didn't survive. And he was a boy. And then my first child. Okay. It's like crazy, right? That we got that connection. But my first child as theirs was born. He was also a boy and he also did not make it. But shout out to my grandmother. You know, she was there, you know, 10 toes down for me, you know. I give her all the gratitude in the world and respect in the world. And I'm thankful to have had her in my life up until God decided it was time for her to come home. So shout out to her. Shout out to my homegirl Kim's stepmom, Tony, who her and her husband, Lee, who we call Daddy, took me in, you know, when me and my mom had displacement going on. We didn't have a place to stay. But Tony, you know, she took care of us. You know, we weren't her kids. We weren't even her husband's kids. Kim was or is. But, you know, there were other friends of Kim's that, you know, could come to 1054 Udell and be, you know, be safe and get something to eat and have a good time. You know, so shout out to her, Tony Brasher Lee. I'm sorry. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. I'll be calling her later. Shout out to my best friend, Teresa's mom, Brenda Trotter. May she rest in peace. You know, she took me in and considered me a daughter. You know, and showed me all the love and support in the world. I won't forget her. She was a beautiful, strong-willed, very smart, loving person. I think she loved so much to people. Her heart was as big as the world. And I won't forget her. And I won't forget what she did for me. You know, and there's so many others. And shout out to my mother-in-law who embraced me, you know, the moment she knew her son loved me. She didn't waste a second to embrace me. And a lot of people don't have mother-in-laws that they can honestly say that they truly love, that they truly get along with, that they truly respect. You know, even if they don't agree, there's never a moment where I won't respect that lady. Like, Donna Morris is the shit. Like, okay, so single mom, raised 5 boys all by herself. You know, she's a soldier. So shout out to her. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. And to all my homegirls that, you know, I've grew up with, that I have watched become moms way before I became a mom. Like, I've been watching my homegirls be mothers for years. And let me just tell every last one of y'all, you've done a great job. Congratulations to you on your endurance. I see you. I respect you. I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the women that I have grown to get or gotten to know since I've been here in Atlanta. Co-workers, you know, football moms, like all of y'all, man. You know, I've taken something from every last one of y'all and learned from you all. You all are beautiful, beautiful Black queens, and I won't ever forget you. So I hope today gives you peace. I hope that you reflect on gratitude. I hope that you recognize that although you're struggling, although it's hard, that there are things to still be thankful for. I hope that your children continue to be blessed. And I hope that you continue to prosper and go forward in this life with divine order. That's all I got for y'all today. It's Mother's Day. I don't know what I'm going to do today. I know I'm going to have me a nice day. Let's just say that. God bless y'all. I love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in to the Flow Experience. Until we meet again, this your girl Flo, loving me, loving you. Peace.